You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello and welcome to The Real Short Box. How y'all doing tonight? My name is Jarrett Anthony Galante, just that, the first.
Yo, 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 it's MC Kenny in the house. What a do.
Well, you didn't tell me we were doing rap names.
Oh, sorry, dude.
All right, then I'm DJ J-Rat.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, damn. Good.
Yeah, pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
Well, today, Donald and I are here, as we've done before. We're going to do our comic book character history, or as you can call it at home, you know, the CCH, get that, comic book character history. All right, never mind. Today, we're going to talk about a shiny hero of the DC Universe. Maybe even what I've discovered in doing my research on this character is this guy might have been the first influencer of comics. I mean, this guy was all about self-promotion. And we're talking about none other than the Booster Gold.
Yeah, Booster Gold's an interesting character because he started out as such a joke.
Right.
Even in the like comic book creator world, he was just like seen as nothing more than a one-trick pony and was going to be gone in a couple years and no one would remember his name. But he actually became quite lovable and quite endearing to a lot of people out there. So he's become a very important character in the DC universe, actually.
Super prevalent.
Right. And I think they did that. Tom King did that mini series recently. It was, Heroes in Crisis?
Mm-hmm.
And Booster Gold played a big part in that, too. Just recently, like this year. So it's like huge, like that Booster, you know, is able to. Or was it last year? Anyway, but yeah, it's huge that Booster was able to stay the test of time, so to speak, and had such staying power. It's really he's really a unique character.
Well, let's get into some of his origin here, and then we'll just go off on a tangent. Booster Gold is one of those rare people that actually his first appearance was in his own comic book number one. Booster Gold number one came out in February of 1986. And he was created by Dan Jurgens of the Jurgens family.
Yeah, actually, I love his lotion.
What if he was, though? Maybe he is. Maybe he is part of the Jurgens family. I don't know.
Possible. When they say jerkin' your gherkin, maybe they meant Jurgens your gherkins.
Jurgens your gherkins. Oh, Danny. Yeah. Danny boy.
Oh, Danny.
So Booster Gold is actually, his name is Michael Carter. Which was news to me. I didn't know he had you don't really hear him go by, you know, like Blue Beetle goes by Ted Kord. You hear a lot, Clark Kent, Superman, but I never heard, hey, Booster. And then when he's out of the costume, Michael Carter.
Yeah. Isn't it even, it's like Michael John Carter, which is even more fancy. Which,
okay. Yeah. That's a head nod to that one. So that he was born, this is where he gets interesting right off the bat. He was born December 29th in the year 2442. So this character is from the future. He's from the 25th century.
Wasn't he born in Gotham City, too?
Yeah. He was born in Gotham. I don't even know if I really read the early series, like how they portrayed Gotham. But they didn't make it sound like it was bad. I don't know if it was a little more cheery, because maybe Batman finally just did his job.
Yeah.
But he had a sister, Michelle Carter. They were born as twins. Yeah, you're right. In Gotham City in 25th century. this is the best. On their fourth birthday, their father left the household to pursue his true love, gambling. Which plays a part, actually, in his origin further down the line.
Oh, by the way, there's this thing on Instagram where somebody posted a new Pop toy. And you know the Pop toys from Funko.
Right, of course.
And the box is empty. But on the package, it says, my dad. And underneath, it says, just went out for smokes.
Is that a custom? Like, did somebody make that? That's not like, okay. Okay, I was like, Funko gets obscure, but that would be on another level.
That'd be a deep cut.
That's sure. Like the president of Funko just sitting there drunk one night, and he's like, my dad was never there. Hey, he calls up one of the creatives. He's like, we're making an absentee dad pop. They're like, well, what's the design? He's like, nothing. There's no design. Nothing. Wow. He just throws his whiskey bottle at the poor graphic designer guy. But the gambling plays a part because they did have a loving mother, his sister Michelle and Michael. They had a loving mother, so they felt bad because she got a debilitating illness, and their father just left them with an insane gambling debt. So what happened
as fathers would do.
As fathers tend to do. I guess they don't change even in the 25th century. So what he did is he became a football player in college, and that's where he got his nickname, Booster. Not really sure why. Maybe he was boosting up the points, or he could just boost in his energy. I don't know.
What I heard is he had a lot of unprotected sex and had to get booster shots.
He had to get booster shots. Yeah, that's a big thing in the first series. He's constantly just shooting himself in the ass with vitamin B. And antibacterial stuff for syphilis and all that stuff. Antibiotics, yeah. So what happened, though, is to earn money, this is where he kind of takes a turn towards the dark side, which kind of always casts a shadow over his character. Because what's cool about him is he's this fun-loving guy, but he's kind of got a dark past. So as far as his origin, it's not, let's say, it's not on the legal side. What he started doing was he started making, kind of turned to gambling like father, like son. And he started to earn money. He started to throw games, like football games, with other gamblers. So, you know, he would say, okay, I'm going to screw the game or I'll get it to this amount of points. And he got money for his mom and she got better, but she found out and it broke her heart. And
I think a lot of people think in the comic book world and even in the cartoon world, I think a lot of people think that Booster just did it just because he was greedy, you know, but that's not the case. He didn't.
Well, it's kind of like every time I read his origin, it always reminded me of Back to the Future too, with like the almanac. Remember, like it totally was that. It was, and I think that even kind of thing comes into play. And I guess it came. Well, he was created 86. When did Back to the Future 2 come out? The same time, right?
Probably pretty close, to be honest.
Well, while you're looking that up, I'll give some more details on it. So. He goes to jail because he gets busted for the gambling and breaks his mom's heart. And, you know, he didn't get sent in there for a while. But so he gets out of jail and he gets a job managing. He's a security officer for the Metropolis Space Museum. And this is where he first sees images of the 20th century superheroes. And he decides he's going to change his life and he is going to become a superhero. But is he going to do that the honest way? No, he's not going to do that the honest way. So what he does is he steals artifacts from the museum and what will become his sidekick. He steals a security robot by the name of Skeets.
Right.
Skeet. Yeah.
Which is something I used to say I would do to people's moms occasionally.
That's right. And they didn't know that
you were
also,
your mom, yo.
Yeah. And they're like, they didn't know it was also a cool, obscure DC Comics pun.
Right. Right. So to be clear, Back to the Future 2 came out in 1989.
Okay. Shit. So he's ahead of the game then.
So they stole the idea from him.
I think they kind of did there. Wow.
Quite possible. Somebody could have been a comic book fan.
I mean, there's definitely, because I mean, that's the thing that plays when he goes to the, what I'm going to tell you now is he travels to the 20th century with all the gear he took and to become a hero because he's obviously his reputation in the 25th century is pretty ruined. He's kind of a low life. So. Right. And the first thing he does when he gets to what makes him big in our time is he saves the president of the United States. And he originally wanted to call himself Gold Star, but he mispronounced his words because he was nervous and he misspoke. And on live television, he got stuck with the name Booster Gold. Originally he wanted to be called Gold Star, which I don't know. I'm going Booster Gold. All the way still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense to me.
So then he started a Gold Star Incorporated. He hired an agent. So this is what I love about this is what I'm saying, where he's like the first influencer. This guy was all about marketing. He was like, I'm not only going to be a superhero, I'm going to be a famous superhero. So he gets an agent Dirk Davis and starts Gold Star Incorporated in Metropolis with Trixie Collins as secretary. And of course, he's got Skeets with him.
Of course, her name's Trixie.
Trixie. And his regular villains were a group called The Thousand, and they were their leader was the Director. From what I remember of them, they were just kind of like a low-rent Hydra or something like that, or like the Magia in Marvel. They were just like a criminal organization, and they had like kind of like agents they would send after him. But that was pretty much it for the duration of his superheroing and his own series. He didn't really come into, I would say, the public eye as far as a well-known, well-liked character until what we're going to get into, and I'm sure you've got a lot to say on, with the Justice League International.
Yeah, yeah. The well, it originally just started out as what? The Justice League revamp.
Right. Who is it? DeMatteis and... Who is the guy right?
I can never say his name right, if that's his name, DeMatteis, but it's Keith Giffen, too.
Giffen and yeah, I always just say it as DeMatteis. I'm sure it's like DeMattea or something like that.
Yeah. That's what I always pronounce it DeMatteis, and I was like, really? I don't know if that's right.
Well, I think little kid Jared is just like DeMatteis.
Yeah, I'm the worst at pronouncing people's names in general, so don't go by me.
No,
but you did mention that the Gold Star, like that the international thing, they revealed that. His agent was the Manhunter in disguise.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It was his agent, who was Davis, I think was his name, Dirk Davis.
Right. Dirk Davis.
He was the Manhunter in disguise, and he was siphoning money from Booster's accounts in hope of leaving him no choice but to do his bidding.
Man, Booster's always getting screwed.
No shit, right?
But that's like a typical agent, though. That's a typical talent agent, though. That kind of makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And it left him bankrupt, by the way, so he had no money. So
that's
why when he joined the Justice League, he saw something in a fellow member. And let me tell you guys, I happen to do a little web series called The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Blue Beetle Ted Kord. This is the start of blue and gold.
Yeah,
this the late 80s, early 90s. This was a beautiful era. Justice League was revamped and became like the Seinfeld of comic books.
That's true. Yeah, it was a completely new turn, not only for the Justice League, but for kind of comics in general.
Yep. And it was often about nothing or just like really dumb things. And one of those, a couple of them actually, was when Booster and Ted decide that that they're going to team up and they're going to become superhero repo men.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing. And then another one is when they decide to start a gaming resort on an island called Kui Kui Kui, which is the dumbest name ever. But they did not know at the time that it was an actual living island. So the island was alive and ended up, I believe, trying to kill them at some point. So it was a very interesting time in Booster Gold's career. And actually, this is the part that endeared him greatly to the masses. Blue and Gold, they became ingrained within each other. You cannot talk about Booster Gold without talking about Ted Kord, the Blue Beetle, and vice versa. They are one and the other.
And to me, one of the most underappreciated duos in comics, because they really, one, for that book in general, they really set that book apart because, it was like, it was kind of fun because it was a comic that was, it had all the superhero hijinks, but it wasn't taking itself too seriously. You know, that was the series where you had Batman knock out Guy Gardner. You had, you had one of my favorite rosters of the Justice League with them. It was Booster, Blue Beetle. I think Captain Marvel was a part of it for a bit. Batman, Guy Gardner. It was just a really interesting team instead of just going with the, you know, the heavies.
It was, what, Fire and Ice, Rocket
Fire
Red,
and Ice. Yep.
Which recently you got me the first appearance of Rocket Red.
That's
thank you
first
for that.
Rocket. You're very welcome.
Yeah, Jarrett and I, we do this thing where we trade comic books, not trade, but we buy each other a comic each month as kind of like it's like a grab bag thing where one of us will just be like, I think he'd like this character. I don't think he has this. Mm-hmm. And then we just send it to him. And then we get it in the mail and we open it and we're like, oh, crap, what is this? And we got to, you know, do a little digging to try and figure out or text each other. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's very apparent based on the cover. It's always something a lot of fun. So one of them that he got me was Rocket Red, which is an awesome character. If nobody knows about him, he's what's the best I can say?
He's like Russian Iron Man, right?
Yeah, he's like a Russian Iron Man, but there was more than one. There was like a whole group of these. So, like, consider it like the Green Lantern Corps of Iron Men.
Totally.
If that makes
sense.
Yeah.
Russia's like answer to superheroes for a little bit. Like, they're kind of
And let's talk a little bit about. So we get into the Justice League and stuff, and then we get into the, you know, into the 90s and things. And Dan mm-hmm. Jurgens is still going strong. He's actually writing Superman.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Sales on Superman are so low that they decide, you know what, we're just going to kill him off.
Yep.
And Jurgens comes up with this idea, and then that's where we get the character of Doomsday,
who was named by Booster Gold.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Within the story, he makes some reference of like, this guy is our Doomsday or something like that. And that is the name that sticks with him and becomes his name as the creature that killed Superman forever,
Doomsday,
right? He never came back, right?
He was so devastating. He basically knocked Bloodwing into non-existence because he knocked him into being Martian Manhunter again. He knocked him so damn hard.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Fire and ice, they were just gone. They were non-starters. Who was the one? She was, at one point in time, she wanted to have sex with Superman because she thought that their seed was superior and they should have children.
Oh, Maxima, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Maxima was standing up to Doomsday and putting up a good fight, but unfortunately, Guy Gardner got beat to shit so bad, mm-hmm. he was going to die if she didn't get him to a hospital. So she had to take him. And then I believe along the way, Ted Kord just got accidentally in the path of Doomsday and knocked into a coma instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Booster like stepped in and was like, motherfucker, I'm going to fuck you up. And then like he got fucked up like bad.
He got so beat up, his suit was destroyed, pretty much leaving him not a superhero anymore. But you know who came to the rescue?
Oh, I think we know.
His best buddy.
Yeah.
Ted came to the rescue,
built him
a new suit. Although I think the new suit was like much bulkier and it would malfunction a lot.
It was really, really a credit to Ted Kord's his technical genius and that he gives him a malfunctioning suit. Here you go, buddy.
But that's what was weird though, because then they would also say like Ted Kord's a genius. Like they'd say like his science is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so maybe he was suffering some head injury, you know, like some lingering stuff mm-hmm. from that. And then things went from bad to worse for Booster. He got into a fight with a guy named Overmaster, who was like this just like deity type of character. And in that one, he got mortally wounded, where not only did he lose his new suit, but he also lost his right arm. And Ted built him another suit, which also served as a life support system and also had a cybernetic arm. He does eventually get his arm restored and his suit restored by the character Monarch, which was just, it was in that old Extreme Justice, very 90s convoluted stories.
Oh, yeah. Hardcore 90s.
Yeah.
That was Mark Campos, I believe, that did the artwork for that. And Mark Campos was definitely very 90s in his drawings and stuff. It was a product of the time, but a great time nonetheless.
Right. Yeah. No, some fun characters came out of it. Some ridiculous mm-hmm. characters came out of it.
There
was something with the, I think it was a reboot story called the Super Buddies, but it was basically where they tried to redo the whole Maxwell Lord, Justice League International. I think it was like a retcon story. Like they did it later on, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But then the next time we really see him is when actually the DC universe was getting really cool again, which was the whole identity crisis and all that stuff. And he was big in the OMAC project, I think, in that whole story.
Yes. Well, actually, he wasn't as big as he was big. He had a good part. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Ted Kord was the star in that.
That's
be honest.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Blue Beetle disappeared because he was trying to solve this mystery, and he was trying to get any hero he could to help him. He went to Batman. He went to Wonder Woman. He went to Booster. He went to all these people, and he was like, I need your help. You know, I think somebody like, what was it? I think Checkmate turned, and there's something going on with this OMAC thing, and it ends up that it was their old leader, the old boss.
Maxwell Lord,
which ended up then killing Ted by shooting him in the head. This was in 2005, by the way, when that happened.
Yeah.
And that's what spurred me to make my web series, because I was pissed.
And then they tried to, which sucked. They had him, he reappeared with a once more functioning suit and with Skeets as well. And he was seeking the Blue Beetle scarab, and he found it fused to the spine of teenager Jaime Reyes, who he brought to Batman to get help. That's where I'm glad they didn't like make it like a meant. I don't think they did. They didn't try and do like Blue, like Jaime Reyes with Booster Gold as like his mentor, did they? Or did he just help him out?
Well, sort of. They actually tried it for like a 10 seconds and it wasn't going to work. They did it later though when they brought Ted Kord back. Ted Kord became the mentor, because here's the thing with DC. They can't ever leave Ted the fuck alone.
Like, yeah, they kind of do. Yeah, exactly.
They brought him back, but they brought him back with his heart condition.
Okay.
And I'm like,
oh, so he can't superhero anymore kind of
right.
thing?
Right. So he has to be the mentor to Jaime Reyes and teach him how to be a hero and blah, 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 which would have been okay. But the only problem is it was also written by Keith Giffen. And Keith, no offense to him, he's a great creator and he can be a great writer, but I feel a lot of his best stories are in the past.
Yeah. It's like Chris Claremont. It's like same
right.
thing. Like,
yeah. He's just not firing on all four cylinders here. So it's like, it's just okay and nothing grand. And it ended up getting canceled. And the last time we saw Ted was in this Heroes in Crisis. And it was actually really good because he teamed up with Booster. And they grabbed Harley Quinn to save her from the heroes from Superman and Wonder Woman and stuff that were after them, because they thought that they killed all these heroes that were at like this halfway house for the like heroes dealing with, you know, existential crisis and things like that, you know, as far as being a hero. So that kind of shit, you know, took place. And that was the last time, I believe, that we've seen Ted Kord and Booster until the most recent Legion of Superheroes story that Brian Michael Bendis is writing, in which he showed up for like a hot second as Michael John Carter, and he was trying to hit on Rose, and she was like, oh, you know, you don't want any of this, but, you know, somebody should take some of this stuff and go in the past and make themselves a hell of a hero or whatever. And then she walks away, and then Booster's like, yeah, that would be a good idea. So basically they insinuate that she's the one that gave him the idea then.
Oh, that's funny. That's good. Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's from the 25th century and Legion is like 31st century, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
Which plays into, like, I want to kind of get a little bit into just, basically, yeah, what you just said is where kind of he's left off. Before that, there was a whole bunch of like stuff he did with Rip Hunter at the time. They had a whole bunch of like time traveling stuff together, because what we find out is, I don't know if it's ever revealed to Booster, but he is Rip Hunter's dad. Did you know that?
I think it does get revealed at some point, but I don't know. I don't know if it's revealed to him. You're right. I don't know if it's revealed to him, but I know it's revealed to us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's revealed to we the readers know, but
insane, because it was his time machine that Michael John Carter ripped off in order to go back into the past.
Exactly. So some of the, I just want to do just quick little facts about him. Some of the fun things. So his powers, if you don't know, he wears a suit, and it was all stuff that he stole from that museum, from the space museum. One of the first things he stole, which plays into what we were just talking about, was a Legion flight ring. So he took one of those so he could fly. He took the power suit, which gives him enhanced durability, superhuman strength, force field generation. He also has time travel circuitry. His gauntlets shoot out like lasers and stuff like that. So kind of like a and his visor has like, you know, like super specs and stuff like that. So he's kind of like a an Iron Man, but like a piecemeal Iron Man who just stole a bunch of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way. It's kind of like a Nova Corps person or a Green Lantern.
Totally. Nova Corps, yep. Yeah, Nova Corps is a good one. And one of my favorite anything booster golds that I've ever seen is, do you remember the Justice League Unlimited episode?
The cartoon? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they did that one episode that featured boosters called, I think, The Greatest Story Never Told or something like that.
Yeah.
And basically what it is the Justice, this was Justice League Unlimited. So this is when they brought in not only the big guns, but they brought in a bunch of random, showcased a lot of the more obscure characters.
Which and is great. One, which that's oh, it got so good.
Oh, it was so good. Yeah, the best. Like, I wish that show just kind of kept going. But the so him and Skeets show up, and they're like, we're here to help. I think there was, like, some big baddie fighting and beating the hell out of, like, all the Justice League. And he basically gets told to, like, no, go help with cleanup or go help with this. And he's like, but I'm Booster Gold. Like, I'm here to help out. I'm the guy. And they're like, yeah, go over here. So, but what happens is he ends up actually saving the day because he meets this like scientist woman, and we find out that, yeah, there's this big baddie fighting, but there's also this other guy who's created this like black hole energy, and it's like sucking up the universe. And he ends up helping it save the day, but of course nobody sees it because it wasn't the main battle. But it was a cool, just if you don't know anything about Booster Gold, find that episode, and it's a really good intro to that character.
Yeah. And speaking of finding things, Booster Gold number one, by the way, is still it's still manageable as far as cost. It's still something that you can grab off like eBay or off the shelf someplace. You can probably still find it someplace for $20.
Yeah.
And that's one that's got it's got some simmering heat behind it.
There's no way they're not going to use this guy for something. He's
right.
He's
the best.
He just screams. I mean, his whole thing is about selling himself. He's a superhero that tries to sell himself. And like I say, in a world right now where everything is about influencers and people trying to market stuff, like how the hell could you not do like if anything, like a TV show of a Booster Gold, like just him, the guy who toes the line between, you know, is he a hero or is he a salesman, you know?
Right. Yep. Yeah, and I think that he's just, it's prime for the big screen, it's prime for the CW, it's prime for pretty much cartoon form. He could have his own animated series, and it would be great. It would just be his time travel shenanigans. In fact, they did that in his own comic book series that was out in the 2000s, you know, it was just...
all time travel stuff?
Yeah, Booster Gold going back in time to fight baddies with Jonah Hex. And then next thing you know, he's meeting up with Ted again, but Ted's a zombie from the Blackest Night Green Lantern story arc and all this kind of stuff that took place over time. So it's rich with stories. It's so good. And I think that people are underestimating it, and that book's going to take off like fire very soon. So get it while you can.
I will give you a shout out. You gave Madeline... You had a pretty beat up copy, but she was like, I want it. I want Booster Gold. So I think we got it for like $5 from you or something like that. So
yeah.
Kudos to you.
Yeah. Well, does Madeline still, does she still collect comics?
She reads them more than she collects them. Like she reads them more digitally, but she's an avid reader. Like I'll read. Yeah. She's not so much into the collecting, but we read comics all the time.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Keep her on that boat. That's a good one to be on for sure.
Yeah, no, she because of her, I get into stuff that I never, you know, like Lumberjanes.
Yeah, it's true. Like you were talking about Champions and things like that. Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's gonna do it on Michael John Carter here. I think we're gonna have to sign off. We're wrapping it up. But yeah. Please, everybody, find us on Instagram. Reach out to us. Send us a message if you want. We have a Facebook page. You can reach out to us.
Oh, sorry to interrupt, everyone. Just wanted to mention real quick about a shop in Canoga Park, California called Spiro's Heroes. Elliot, the proprietor of the store, has over 300,000 books in what's called the Temple of Comics. That's Spiro Heroes in Canoga Park, spirosheroes.com.
Yeah, like I said before, you could always go back to, go listen to some of the old pods. Get, you know, we've been doing this for years now.
Yeah,
it's been we've been doing this a while.
It's coming on 3 years, dude, that we've been doing this. Yeah, so it's been a long time. Yeah. And you know, you find us on iTunes, on YouTube, on Spotify, on Google Play Music, on Spreaker. There's a bunch more formats. Odds are, if it's a podcast format, we're on there. And if not, we're definitely on the big ones. So,
and also,
go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for listening. I was just gonna say thank you for listening. I was gonna say, you know, you could also just find us and you could see us on the streets. But mainly, we would like to see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.